Shoot for the moon. If you don't quite make it, land on a star. That was a quote from Les Brown, a motivational speaker from Miami. Hello and welcome to Occult Lives, where this episode's subject is the moon, that great big silver ball that is closest to us in the sky. Often regarded as a feminine symbol, her counterpart being the masculine sun, she's associated with many goddesses, Isis, Hecate, to name but two, and has a mysterious feminine quality about her. Every month, we watch the moon traverse the heavens, changing her face every night, beginning as just a thin slice of silver, she grows until she becomes a full-lit moon. Graceful and gentle, she looks down upon us, because that is a lady's face lit up in the full moon above us. The moon is a natural satellite for Earth, as it orbits our planet on an elliptic path, taking 27 days and just under 8 hours to make this passage, whilst averaging speeds of 2,285 miles per hour. This elliptic path means that the distance between the moon and the Earth varies. It can be as close as 225,000 miles or as far off as nearly 255,000 miles. The actual cycle of new moon through to full, then back to new moon, takes 29 and a half days. The moon's atmosphere is almost non-existent, almost a vacuum, so it is inhabitable for us mortals who need air to breathe. The moon has an effect on our planet. It affects the seas with its gravitational pull, and even plants and vegetables prosper if one follows a lunar calendar as to when to sow and when to reap for the best possible crop. It must have an influence on our own natures, since we are bodies mainly consisting of fluids, which the moon affects. During her journey around our planet, the moon is lit up by the sun's rays, and depending on the sun and moon's position to one another, depends on how much light falls on that moon's surface, and this follows a pattern. When the moon is out of the sun's rays, it is known as no moon, nothing to see of her in the sky, as no ray of sun falls upon her face. The new moon is when that first sliver of light catches the moon's edge, and from then on the sun's rays reach more and more of that surface, waxing across, revealing more of the moon, growing steadily until the light covers the whole of the face of the moon, giving us nearly 3 nights of that brightness to reflect down upon us, giving night times that silver hue. Then it begins to wane, fall back, withdraw again to complete the cycle back to a time when no moon is seen in the sky. A lunar eclipse is when the sun, earth and moon are so aligned that the earth's shadow falls across the moon face, and this only happens when it is full. A solar eclipse is when the moon passes between the earth and the sun and blocks out the sun. Each day of the week is ruled by a planet. Monday is the day dedicated to the moon. In many old cultures, the people used to go by a lunar calendar rather than the modern day sun version. The Chinese still start their new year based on when the new moon falls at the beginning of spring, and each Chinese year is named after an animal. These animals had years dedicated to them by Buddha. Many centuries ago, the Buddha had asked the animals of the land to come and see him on a certain day and time, and out of all the animals of the land, only 12 showed up. Because of their dedication, he named a year after each one. 2012 was the year of the dragon and full of dragon energy. 2013 is the year of the snake. And here are some wise words from the Buddha. 3 things cannot be long hidden: the sun, the moon, and truth. So there are 13 different moon cycles within a solar year. The harvest moon is the full moon that occurs closest to the autumn equinox, which is then followed by the hunter's moon. Then, with December, comes the cold moon. The Native American Hopi tribe called it the dangerous moon, when nothing grew and darkness was all about. When it is said there is a blue moon, this means it is a month that has 2 full moons in it, which doesn't happen often, and they usually occur with the first near the beginning of the month and the second, the blue moon, towards the end. If the sun and moon should ever doubt, they would immediately go out. A little quote from William Blake there. How was the moon created? There are a few theories, but nobody really knows for sure how the moon came to be. Is the moon a piece of this planet Earth that broke off somehow and then was caught in the gravitational pull of the Earth's movements, thus became trapped close by us? Was there another planet between us and the others that was perhaps destroyed and the moon is some remnant from it? Well, apparently the moon is not made of cheese, nor does a man live there, according to NASA. And why do walls howl at the moon? I couldn't find many answers to this. In fact, the only theory I could find was this. The American Indians say the wolf spirit sang the moon into the sky, but why is not explained. Where did they sing the moon from? Did they howl so badly the moon ran off to the sky to escape? In ancient Chinese lore, it is an old man who sits in the moon, and he decides who shall marry who back here on Earth. This Chinese old man is a matchmaker, who has an invisible twine of silk, which he ties one end to the woman and the other end to a man, whom he intends to become a married couple. This cord stays with them, slowly working its way for the two of them to meet and their romantic destiny to unfold. The man in the moon came tumbling down and asked his way to Norwich. He went by the south and burnt his mouth when supping cold peas porridge. That was an old English nursery rhyme. In ancient Egypt, the power of the sun and of the moon could be called upon to avert the evil eye. The evil was cast through jealousy or rage, and it could also be deadly. The old saying, if looks could kill, explains all. To avert the evil eye, one needs an amulet, and the popular one in old Egyptian times was to use the eye of the sun of Horus and the eye of the moon of Horus, whose name describes that he has two eyes. I think it is pronounced Ujati, the name given to the two protective eyes when they are together. They are often seen depicted on tombs and sarcophagi, protecting the occupant from evil. The right eye represents the sun, and the left eye represents the moon. In ancient Egypt, there were many gods and goddesses who were related to the moon. Thoth was regarded as a sun and moon god, as well as the keeper of time. The moon and her phases helped one back on Earth to keep track of what day of the month it was. Thoth was also associated with magic, as is the moon, along with the dark arts, astrology and such like. In ancient Greek, there was a ritual known as the Diabol. One who has been angered or annoyed by a neighbour or a boss or whoever goes out to the full moon and shouts their grievances about that person. The moon thus absorbing all that negative energy and, like a therapy session, makes one feel better. In alchemy, the moon is a feminine symbol and, like the snake, a sign of regeneration, resurrection. The snake sheds its skin and is reborn. The moon grows full, then shrinks to nothing again, shedding its skin in the shadows to be reborn a new moon. The moon also represents the metal silver, gold being that of the sun, the two most important metals and the two most important objects in the sky connected for us. We suggest, therefore, that philosophers should consider the action of the sun and the moon upon the earth, wrote Dr. John Dee, who was discussed on a previous show about his ambitions to scry with his black obsidian mirror. He and his associate Edward Kelly scryed for spiritual visions and contact with other beings. Well, some scry by the full moon, looking upon its reflection on still waters until they see something. Some do the same thing with a mirror, looking at the full moon in a mirror and waiting to see what appears in the reflections. Drawing down the moon, another old witch's trick. It was in fact a rite to invoke the goddess of the moon into one. Calling down Hecate or whoever your chosen lunar goddess is for a ritual, summoning them to enter you and to pass on their attributes. Such a ritual would involve much preparation of cleansing, meditation and dedication, so that one would be worthy of taking on the goddess's aspects. Hey diddle diddle, the cat and the fiddle, the cow jumped over the moon. The little dog laughed to see such craft, and the dish ran away with the spoon. Another moon-related saying I used to hear often when I was younger was when somebody asked what another person, possibly their loved one, wanted, and the reply would be, the moon on a stick, which is an impossible thing to have, almost sounds a loony thing to say. Loony comes from the word lunatic, which is described in a person who is crazy or erratic. Lunatic is associated to the word lunar, which is, of course, the word we use for the moon and her qualities. So is a lunatic a crazy person who has been influenced by the moon? Lunacy? Can the lunar rays make one go mad? Moon madness? Do our brain rhythms have a relation with the lunar patterns? The moon is often attributed to melancholy, and melancholy, if not checked, can lead to some form of mental derangement, perhaps leading to lunatics howling at the full moon. Or is that werewolves howling at the moon? The werewolf fable appears in many cultures, so could there be truths in it? Are there people able to transform into other animals? Could a man or woman who has this curse transform into the werewolf every full moon? There are stories of men who have believed themselves to be able to become a wolf. It is known as lycanthropy, and modern medicine now believes it has a cure for it. It has been suggested that it all started as stories of shamans who could shapeshift into other animal forms, a wolf being a favourite. Or perhaps cunning folk or witchy types of old took a herb, maybe a hallucinogenic herb, that they believed transformed them into another animal, such as a wolf, and thus a man changing into an animal, a myth was born. Every man is a moon and has a side which he turns toward nobody. You have to slip around behind it if you want to see it. Those wise words are from Mark Twain. I have seen studies in the United States on research to see if there are differing behavioural patterns during different phases of the moon, and many noticed increases in criminal activity during full and new moons. Hospitals had a rise in A&E admissions during these two periods, but not large ones, just noticeable amounts. A book has been recently released entitled The Moon and Madness by Niall McRae, in which he has investigated just this subject in the UK. His reports include talking to various staff of psychiatric wards and hospitals for the mentally ill and what they think about the supposed influence of a full moon on the insane and mentally ill. Interesting reading. The moon is significant in many esoteric traditions. In palmistry, one is able to read one's character and fortune by the lines and mounds on the hand. The various mounds upon the palm are all named after the planets and show the degrees to which a person's attributes are related to it. The mound of the moon is on the outer edge of the base of the palm under the line of the head. If it is fleshy, people are known as lunarians, and they are usually imaginative, creative, sensitive, possibly psychic. According to Chiro, the famous palm reader of the late 19th century, people with a prominent lunar mount are gifted with a strong imagination and are intensely romantic. Inventive and original, they can get ahead in their chosen profession. Chiro says imagination may be another name for inspiration. Lunar people are magnetic types, able to attract and repel at will. In astrology, all the planets of the solar system affect us in some way or other, the moon being no exception. The sun is our consciousness, whilst the moon is our subconsciousness. The sun, the rational. The moon, the irrational. The sun, our present. The moon, our past. The moon in us is our deeper inner side, our more private selves. Depending on where your moon is placed on your birth date is how the moon and you react. Each planet rules a zodiac sign, and the moon rules the sign of Cancer the Crab, the sign most correlated with home life. The time known as void of moon is when the moon is leaving one zodiac sign to go into the next, and it is not a good time to start new ideas. This is because, according to astrological law, when the moon is changing signs, things become erratic and well-laid plans go awry. So maybe not a good time to make decisions or start anything new. One other popular tradition is the tarot, and number 18 is the card that represents the moon. Caught between the stars and the sun, it deals with dreams, ephemeral illusion and disillusions, bringing the subconscious to the conscious. If drawn, it may be time to look at one's shadow, one's darker, deeper self, into that subconscious that Jung himself referred to as the shadow. This card is saying there is confusion. On an esoteric level, maybe the dark mysteries, a glimpse, perhaps almost ready to be unveiled. This card is also often depicted with dogs or wolves, along with a crab for the sign of Cancer, the moon beaming down on the nighttime scene. There's usually a pair of objects, towers, megalithic stones or doors, as if offering two paths to choose from, one to go deeper, the other to forget, perhaps to give up and go home. It is your choice which path you take. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. The late Neil Armstrong's famous words as he stepped off the lunar module back in 1969. It is against American law to possess moon dust or moon rock. Is that because the US government is worried somebody will analyse it and discover it's not lunar, that it's Earth soil, maybe American soil, possibly from the Groom Lake area? Conspiracy theories, eh? As you know, Americans landed on the moon back in 1969 and have been back there a few times since. One of those astronauts who was lucky enough to visit it is Alan Bean, the fourth man on the moon, who went there on Apollo 12. Back in those days, when his mission was over, he was able to collect the moon dust that had gathered on his moon spacesuit and keep it. He now is a popular artist of lunar landscapes. And what is so special about his painting is that he has added to the paint he uses the moon dust he gathered on his trips up there. Another astronaut, Edgar Mitchell, had secret interests in ESP and telepathy, and he decided to use his opportunity in space on Apollo 14 to try out some telepathic experiments with four friends back on Earth. They decided on a set of times when Mitchell would think about a number and attempt to telepathically send that number from the Apollo ship in space to the four Earthbound friends. When he returned to Earth, Mitchell checked what the others had received. Two of the four had 51 out of 200 correct. Mitchell went on to found the Institute of Noetic Sciences, noetic meaning to perceive with the mind. The Institute continued Edgar's interest in telepathy and human consciousness. The moon has been immortalised in songs many times over. Moon River, Blue Moon, Moon Dance, Harvest Moon, Ozzy's Bark at the Moon, and of course Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, to name just a few. But if you really want to know the answers to the moon and her mysteries, then have a listen to Ogden's Not Gone Flake by The Small Faces, where Mad John explains all. All you have heard has been looked up and researched by myself, but you can find out more on the moon in books, the web, talking and libraries. Thanks for listening, and until next time, peace and out.